Well, my name is R. Dallas Green. If we haven't met, I'd love to get to know you. Our anchor verses for our series we're currently in called Divine Direction is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And they read as follows. Be joyful always. Pray continually. And give thanks in all the circumstances of life. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I mentioned how difficult this last year has been, but I didn't mention to you that I have a lot of choices to make as to how to respond to what happens. See, our choice is always our response to what has happened in life. We can always choose to rejoice because there's always something to rejoice about. We can choose to pray. We're going to talk about prayer, praying continually. And we can choose to give thanks in the midst of our life circumstances. I heard about somebody that has dedicated a tablecloth to their Thanksgiving praises. So every year they bring out their Thanksgiving tablecloth and they record this year's Thanksgivings. And they put it in the place next year to see what we were thankful for last year. And it's an ongoing record of God's faithfulness to that family. Something to think about. I want to make a few forewords going into the sermon. We're going to be in Acts chapter 13 in just a moment. Let me talk to you a little bit about prayer. The purpose of our series has been to elevate our prayer lives. I have felt the Spirit saying to me many times that we need as a church to move to the next level in praying. I think about praying being about push, right? Pray until something happens. Push. Pray until something happens. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, when you pray, go into your room, your closet, and close the door and pray to your Father in secret. I call that the war room. I'm going to war on behalf of people, going into war in situations. You know, where two or three people begin to pray together, there's a great sense of expectancy, great sense of electricity. Prayer is this two-way communication between us and God. It's us talking to God, but us being still and listening to God. Now, if we get quiet, what happens is we hear God's Spirit speaking to us. You see, the objective voice of God is Scripture, but the subjective voice of God is the Spirit speaking to our spirits. Now, many of you I know pray on the way to work, and that's a good thing to do. However, when you're driving to work, there's often traffic, right, and interruptions. And that's good. I want you to keep that prayer time of driving to work or driving home from work. But I want you to include in that some quiet times, just to be alone with God in prayer. You know, Elijah was a great man of God. He was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed. He prayed, first of all, that it wouldn't rain. And for 3 years, there was no rain in the land. Then there was this great contest on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And after the battle was over, Elijah prayed. He prayed very specifically. And he prayed very passionately. And he prayed very persistently for rain. It says about Elijah that he bent down before the Lord and he put his head between his legs. You may wonder, what did this mean, that Elijah would take such a posture praying? Well, it's true that a woman, when she was giving birth, would kneel down and put her head between her legs and push. What Elijah was doing when he was praying was, he was praying fervently that God would hear his prayers. And he sent his servant over to the side. He said, you see any clouds? None yet. 7 times he went. The 8th time he went over, there was a small cloud about the size of a man's hand. God had heard his prayer. See, Elijah knew from the Scriptures that as long as the people were engaged in idolatry, there'd be no rain in the land. But now that time had passed, and it was time for God to keep his promise to send forth the rain. He was praying in accordance with the Spirit's prompting and to the Word of God. When we pray a lot about guidance, right? If I'm a student, what program should I enter into? I've heard a mom talking about how her daughter had a baby, and her daughter wants her to become a granny, actually a nanny. And so her deliberation is whether to become a granny or a nanny. I hear about opportunities that you have, you know, for new work in different cities. Should we move to another city? Should we take on this new opportunity? About issues in housing, you know, like where should we live? Apartment move into, house to move into. I mean, when I graduated high school, life was pretty simple, actually. There was three basic choices. You could go in the military, you could go to college, or you could go to work. But now there's a lot more choices available to this generation, right? You can tour the world. You can take a gap year. You can go to school online. You can become a resident somewhere. You can take a break for a couple years and, you know, travel. You can go to school. So in other words, the world that we live in has become much more complex in terms of choices that we have available to us, which means that prayer becomes all the more important. So there's prayer, and prayer is a beautiful discipline that God would invite us into, but there's another discipline called fasting. Fasting is a discipline largely unpracticed in America. We have mastered feasting, and we have forgotten fasting. Now, I'm a realist, okay? I know that Thanksgiving's right this week. You're not going to fast on Thanksgiving Day. No, that's not going to happen. And New Year's, or Christmas Eve's coming, you know, about a month away, Christmas Eve, Christmas. You're not going to fast on those days. And then New Year's Eve comes, and New Year's Day, you're not going to fast on those days either. Okay, so let's just grant the fact that you got five feasting days ahead of you. But you don't have to feast every day up to them, or every day after them. You can see yourself as sort of training for the big event. I'm going to train this week so I can feast on Thanksgiving Day. You see, prayer is good, but if you want to add power to your prayer life, you can fast. Fasting is sort of like doing spring cleaning to the body. All these toxins that build up, right? See, fasting is not something we add to our life. It's something that we begin to subtract from our life. So let's say that you're going to fast from caffeine. In the time you normally would find a cup of coffee or make a cup of coffee, what you do is you devote that time to prayer. I've been fasting a substantial part of this week. There's a deep trial that I find myself in. I've been trying to listen to the Spirit's guidance to me. I find that Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I find that Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights before he received the law on Mount Sinai. But my favorite story about fasting has to do with a guy whose name was Jehoshaphat. It's found in 2 Chronicles 20. You don't have to turn there, but he was king of Judah. And he was surrounded by powerful enemy armies. Ananias